Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey everybody, welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. I got Jake Ellenberger here again as my guest host. This is Adam Hunter. We got a great guest. We got great guests coming on. We have the Hurricane, Connor Hune, as well as the beautiful Jessica Eye. So I'm looking forward to the show, and thank you for joining us.
Hello.
Hey, Connor Hune. Hello.
Hello.
Hey, is this the Hurricane?
Hey, what up, buddy?
What's up, man? I'm here with Jake Ellenberger. You're on the MMA Roasted podcast.
Nice. How you doing, Jake?
I'm good, man. How about you?
Good, good.
I told you once I made it big, I wouldn't forget about you, man. You know that, right?
Have you made it big?
No, not yet. But when I do, I promise I won't forget about you. Now, Connor.
All right, good looking out.
Now, Connor, one of these guys. Connor, he was my wrestling coach. We coached middle school wrestling together. You're one of the best dudes I know. You're one of the best friends I have. You were a professional fighter in Strikeforce, and you retired about a year ago. You needed double hip surgery, correct?
Yep.
How's it going since then? What's going on with you?
It's going good, man. I work now as a personal trainer at 24 Hour Fitness. And I've been coaching MMA at a small gym here in Boulder, Colorado. I'm just linking up with 10th Planet Boulder. I'm going to be over there in the new year, and just teaching that rubber guard. In my opinion, the only guard for MMA, and chasing the dream.
Now you're one of these guys that you were so, like, you had some epic wars with Gurgel and with KJ Nunes. Do you think now I know a lot of those fights you were hurt for, correct?
I wasn't hurt for the Nunes fight.
For the Gurgel, do you kind of wish that maybe you weren't hurt before that fight?
Well, of course, man. I wish I won all the fights that I lost. But it is what it is, man. We just grow from, the adversity that we face in our life. You know, I think people are a lot like diamonds. The more pressure they're under, the more hardship they have, the brighter they shine.
Right. That's true. That's a good quote. You've also banged a lot of crazy girls. I remember... I remember actually that one of the first coaches, one first time you always had these girlfriends that were like either fighters or they were models or they were complete cokeheads. Do you think maybe that was a distraction, some of the crazy women that you've dated?
You know, I think it was a benefit. It taught me to keep my hands up at all times.
That's true. I mean, you're one of these guys. I remember we used to go hiking, me, you, and Renato Laranja. Well, we used to go hiking together, and you, I'd be like, hey, how was your weekend? And you'd be like, oh, I went to a swinger party and banged four chicks.
Yeah. You're talking about Renato?
No, you. I'm talking about you.
What's the question?
There's no question. I just wanted to remind you of those good times. I like miss you, man. Those are some of the best times. Coming to your wrestling class, and then you remember you had herpes on your face, and then you say, hey, man, if you don't have herpes, you haven't gone through some wars, you know. And I just. I just missed some of those memories. Remember when you told me that you went on Craigslist and you had two hookers come next door and then laughed at like your neighbor who got two hookers while you laughed through the window?
What Well, you got to check him out, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's a good. That's a good point. You've also, you also rolled with some of the. You rolled with Jake Shields. You rolled with Uriah. You rolled with Herschel Walker. Who are some of the best guys that you've trained with?
Shields, since you mentioned his name, he definitely stands out. I mean, I never really believed in the high crotch for MMA, but after watching, his fight with Dan Henderson, where he took him down, over and over again with that head out single, Shields is a monster. He absolutely destroyed me when we rolled together. He wouldn't finish the takedown if he wasn't going to land in side control. He'd be in deep on a shot and I'd be trying to jump and pull guard and he'd sort of back out and would only finish to side control, which made an impression on me at the time. But being a legend, we had a lot of high level guys come in to train with Eddie and so I got to roll with a bunch of people. Probably the first high-level guy I ever got to go with was Carl Parisian way back in the day when we were still over at the Bomb Squad before Legends was even around. And that was before all of his issues. That was when he was getting ready to fight Matt Hughes for the title before he tore his hamstring or whatever it was that he tore. But I remember shooting a single on Carl, and he hit me with that Uchimata, and I think I slipped two times before I landed on my ass. Being a wrestler who'd wrestled on the collegiate level, on the world level, I'd never been thrown like that before. So that was, that sort of stands out to me.
Wow, that's crazy. You also roll with Faber too, right?
Yeah, we just did some takedowns at Legends, just a little bit of rest, and I was really impressed by his head snap, reaching up one-handed, the amount of pressure that he could apply with just, a simple head snap, which sort of blew me away. He's definitely an athlete.
And I remember Connor, and I got to say, like, hanging out with you sober, when you were sober, was one of the, it's probably the most fun I've had in L.A. Hanging out with you drunk was probably the most miserable experience of my life. I remember you coming to a couple of my comedy shows and getting drunk and heckling me, my own friend.
Yeah.
And having to drive you.
I wasn't heckling you, bro. I was just answering the questions that you were asking on stage.
They were rhetorical questions.
I didn't understand that they were rhetorical. You were looking at me. I thought you were talking to me.
Yeah, that was a crazy experience. And also the time I brought you to a, it was a lower level MMA fight, and you got drunk and stole a beer from a guy with one arm. That was probably one of the most miserable experiences of my life, too. The guy had a hook, and then he put his hook up to your face.
I guess I can just say I'm happy you lived such a sheltered life that me getting drunk in an MMA fight is the worst thing that ever happened to me.
That's a good point. But coaching with you was great. Although, I got to say, one time me and Connor were coaching middle school kids, and one kid's like, "Hey, Connor, look at me." And he goes, "Quit being a retard." And I was like, "You can't tell 10-year-olds to quit being a retard." And you're like, "Oh, sorry." But I do miss you. Now what's it like? Because a lot of times people, they see you, like, you're in the spotlight, you're fighting in front of all these people, you're in Strike Force, you had four fights in Strike Force, some great fights, and now you're retired and living in Colorado. Is it a big change? Do you miss the spotlight? Do you miss the competition?
Nah, man, I'm happy. The only thing that really changed is I don't have the rage and anger and stuff that I was dealing with for most of my life growing up. I feel like I worked through that sort of with a combination of MMA and really yoga. And I was able to, to express that anger and that rage physically in the cage. And then when it got to a point where I wasn't, I didn't have that rage anymore. MMA was never a game to me. It was never a sport. It was never, let me see if I can outpoint this guy. I went in there to, to try and kill people and to, try and get killed myself, to just bear it all and throw down and unleash that sort of primal self, that inner beast. And then, I turned 35 in February, man. If you're not jumping on that TRT bandwagon, eventually I think you outgrow most of that shit, thankfully. And you know, the only reason I started fighting is because it scared me. You know, I was terrified of it. You know, I remember being in high school and having some kid tell me he's going to whip my ass after class or after school, and being terrified of that, and, you know, throwing up in the middle of Spanish class, like going to the bathroom, getting sick. You know, and I was ranked number one in the state. There was no way that kid should have been able to make me scared. But the fact of the matter is I was scared. And for that last, my last fight, I wasn't scared at all. So that was my, you know, my signal to move on, you know. And so now I'm able to go out and help other people get to that same state, you know, help other people get to that place where they're no longer afraid. And to me, you know, that's one of the biggest gifts that been I've been able to get out of the sport, you know, is the fact that now I can take a kid who's unsure of himself and lacks confidence, and that I can give him that confidence, and that I can give him the skills to go out and be the person that he really is, and not be marginalized by, you know, bullies or you know, hecklers or whatever the case may be, you know, to be able to just go out and to teach other people, you know, that's what it's about. Like, now I'm in a place in my life that I'm, you know, that really nothing scares me, or at least nothing physically.
Speaking of the TRT, I know that you told me a lot of fighters that you knew were doing that. Jake, would you like to weigh in? What do you guys, as fighters, what do you guys think of the whole TRT thing?
You know, that's there's always that line where if it's like your, you know, your health on the line, if it's something that's going to help your health and in your, you know, your quality of life, sure. But I think a lot of people are really starting to push the edge there, in at least, you know, and I'm not going to say any names because I really don't know for sure, but you can tell obviously some people will take advantage of that and in recovering and they're going to ride that wave and you know, until they get caught or possibly, you know, fail.
Connor, what about you?
You know, to me, you know, I think it's a cop out. I think it's, you know, it's like, yeah, when you get old, you no longer, you know, have the body or the hormones of a 20-year-old, but you also have 15 years of experience. You know, people talk about old man strength. What old man strength is a technical knowledge of the positions that you're in and how to stabilize yourself in those positions and how to use minimal energy, and all that comes from experience. Thing is that you, as your experience goes up, your testosterone goes down, and it's a nice balance. And if you're able to take somebody who's got, you know, me, I've got, you know, coming up on 30 years of combat sports competition experience. You know, I started my first match when I was 4 or 5. And if I could now take all that experience and go back and have the, you know, the hormones in the body of a 20-year-old, you know, to me, that's not fair. You know, then, you know,
yeah,
you know, do what you want to do. I'm out of the sport. I don't really give a what people are on if they want to fight me. You know.
No, I think it is bullshit. I have to say, I understand. I think a lot of fighters have the, I've actually spoken to pro fighters who are doing very well, who are like, yo, I've made no money for 12, 13 years building the sport. It's not fair that these 22-year-olds are making the money, so I should be able to take the TRT now to compete with them. But that's every profession. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's comedy.
Yeah, those are whiny bitches, if you ask me, man. You know, take what you're given and do the best with it. That's what it's about, man. You know, look at f***ing Nick Newell. Guy's got one arm and he's undefeated. You tell me you need to take testosterone? Shut the f*** up.
Yeah, but I, the other thing about Nick Newell, though, I have to admit, you can't really train for that, to defend that guillotine, because that thing is the tightest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. And how do you get a guy with one arm to prepare for that guy? Not that he shouldn't be allowed. I understand. Obviously, I'm a big Nick Newell fan. But that's, I was like, holy shit. As the guy fighting him, I was like, how is he going to train for this? How do you train for a guy with one arm? I mean, that's...
Stay at striking range.
Yeah. So how's, so are you, I know, Connor, do you have a girlfriend now? Or are you single? What's the deal?
I got a girlfriend.
Oh, nice. Is she normal, or is she...
Yeah, it's normal as I've ever dated, that's for sure.
Oh, God, that means no. No, Connor actually was living on Greg Jackson's ranch for 4 months, which is crazy.
Cowboys Ranch.
Cowboys Ranch. Cowboys Ranch with his girlfriend. You took your girlfriend to Cowboys Ranch. What was that like?
That was an interesting experience.
I don't even know, man. That was an interesting time in my life, that's for sure. It was, you know, it was great to be able to get up there and test myself against the best guys every day. You know, when I was at Jackson's, I used to throw up my breakfast walking across the parking lot to go to sparring, you know, two or three times a week, just out of nerves, you know, and probably 2 or 3 months into that experience, you know, that left, and I realized that I could, you know, I could go with the best in the world on any given day, and you know, that, you know, for me, that's what that experience in New Mexico was just about convincing myself where I stood, you know, amongst the pack.
I have to say, Connor, and I know you're going to get mad at me for saying this, and no disrespect, and you know I love you. I really think that fight after you spent on Greg Jackson's ranch or on Cowboy's ranch, you're not, with Almeida, right? That was the best. Yeah. That was the best you've ever looked, and I think that you could have taken almost anybody in like your division after that. I think you should have stayed there, man.
Sure. Yeah, that would have, you know, hindsight's 2020, my friend. I mean, the bottom line is going into my fight, you know, going into that last fight, you know, my body was falling apart, you know.
It was also a money thing, right?
What do you mean?
Like, wasn't it expensive to put yourself up in that camp and kind of?
No. I Cowboy, you know, I was staying up there. He wasn't charging me rent, you know. No, it wasn't a money thing at all. It was much more expensive to live in Hollywood than it is to live in New Mexico. You know, I came back because I wanted to work towards my black belt with Eddie. And you know, I broke my arm in that fight with Almeida. And then when I was home in Colorado doing rehab for that arm, Cowboy moved his striking coach, Valley Flow, into what was, you know, at the time, what was my room. So I didn't really have a place to stay there anymore. It wasn't that I left by choice. It was that my room was gone. So I went and picked up my stuff and moved back to LA.
Now, didn't you tell me that, but like the first day of that camp, you had gotten the crap beaten out of you, but by the end of the camp, you were beating John Jones?
No, I didn't say that.
Okay. I'm just trying to make sure.
I said that I got, you know, first day of wrestling practice at Jackson's, I got taken down more times in one, you know, session than I'd been taken down probably in the previous 5 years. You know, that's when I knew I was at the right spot. But the thing with that is when you're going with high-level guys like that, you get your timing on point, you know, and 2 months later, you know, I was giving everybody there a run, you know.
Right. But you did spar with Jones, right?
I did, yep.
Well, now, what was that like?
Hard to get in. That guy's got a long reach.
Oh, well, thanks for the description. All right. thanks for being so... I mean, come on. It's like fucking... He's probably the best fighter in the world.
I was fighting a god. I was overwhelmed by just his aura, you know. It was like, I don't know, Vader or something before he even got out there. I felt my lungs closing up. And then he feigned a spinning back elbow. And next thing I know, I was just sitting on the sidelines with my water bottle. I can barely tell you, bro.
All right. This is bullshit. All right, I like the first... All right. Well, Connor, thanks for calling into the show, man. You know I'm always a fan and a friend. You've always been one of my best friends, man. And I do miss you. I have nobody in LA more miserable than me. And
well, you should. I'm not miserable anymore, but you should come out to Colorado because I still get into the Nitro Club for free.
Oh, last time I was in Colorado, Connor won his fight, but got his jaw wired, and he took me to a strip club. And he's out there, and he's telling me about his fight, and he's spitting on me the entire time because he can't talk, because he can't open his mouth, and he's making it rain with a bunch of Colorado strippers. That was fun. That was actually a really good time.
That was a win bonus well spent.
Yeah, that was your entire win bonus went to dollar bills and Colorado strippers.
Well,
thanks, man.
But it pays dividends because I figure, you know, they waived the $15 cover charge every time since then. That was about 5 years ago. I figured I'd go 3 times a week. I think, you know, I get a pretty good return on my investment.
Absolutely, man. Well, dude, keep up the good work. I'm glad things are going well for you. And I will talk to you soon, brother.
Hell yeah. See you guys later. Keep it up.
Take care. Well, that was Connor Hewn. Nice guy. Huh?
Yeah, real nice guy.
been through a lot of shit.
Yeah, sounds like it.
Yeah, you know, training at Donald Cerrone and his whole farm. It's got to be crazy, you know.
For sure. I mean, you just even that whole camp, you know, training with and really kind of jumping into that, you know, it's like, man, you're training with some of the best guys in the world, and you sink or swim, you know what I mean? That's it right there.
Connor's funny. Me and Connor, one time we were going hiking, and there was this porn star that I was trying to pick up, and I was and we were hiking with her, and I invited like three porn stars. It was me, Hanato, and Connor, and three porn stars. And I go to one girl, I'm like, hey, you know, I'm like, you know, we should go out. And then she's like, you have too bad of a reputation. Like, and then Connor was laughing that the porn star said my reputation was too bad. That's when I knew maybe it was time to reevaluate some things in my life. But
definitely reevaluate.
Yeah, but Connor's a good dude. He's one of these dudes that, like, you know, there are certain friends that, like, when they, I feel like I was living vicariously through him, you know, because he was like, you know, just he was a good athlete, my wrestling partner, and it's always interesting sometimes what happens afterwards to these guys, you know. Yeah. And sometimes some guys, like you said before, off the air, that some guys can't miss. They miss the spotlight so much, they fight way past their time. Mm-hmm. But you know, I'm kind of happy for Connor that he got out when he did. Didn't take too much brain damage. Mm-hmm. You know, he's got a college degree at Ithaca, which is a good school, and you know, he's working at a gym and opened up an MMA thing. That's what he should be doing, you know?
No, for sure. I think he sounds happy. He sounds like he's doing a good job. And you know, that's the biggest thing with most fighters is just not having a plan or an exit strategy when they're done fighting, or you know, or they're too living in the moment. Like, they have to have that spotlight. You know, some people, and everyone, you know, has different motivations and fight for different reasons. But
how good is that feeling? I mean, like, when you fought in Omaha, Nebraska, and you're walking out to the octagon, and everybody in Omaha is there to see you when you fought Diego Sanchez. I mean, were you just biggest high in the world?
Yeah, it was unreal. I mean, it's really, and it's one of those once-in-a-lifetime kind of moments, but you know, it's one of those things though. It's like there's things that you won't forget about it. But I mean, I don't know. I'm not the most like spotlight driven person. You know what I mean? But no, for sure. I'd be lying if I said I didn't enjoy it.
But you're also one of these down low guys where, like, you say you come across very, very subtle, very humble. And then I see you and you always have like the bomb ass chick that, like, I mean, your last girlfriend was smoking hot. I mean, she might have been a little crazy, but she was hot. You know, she's a fighter and a model. I'm not gonna name names. The girl that you were with at my show the other night was another. Like, I've never seen you without a 10. And I'm not just saying that, like, but you do. I mean, you do get. Your name should be like the stealth bomber. Forget the juggernaut, because you're one of these unassuming guys. You hang out in the corner, but then you slay the hottest chick in the room, and no one can say shit because they're not gonna like. That. Come on.
I don't know about that, Adam, but. And I appreciate the compliment, though.
It's true, though. I'm not just saying that. I mean, there are guys that I see with some ugly chicks that I'm like, what the hell are you thinking? I wouldn't say it to their face, but as soon as they leave the room. But you're one of those dudes that, like your last girlfriend was smoking, this girlfriend smoking, and then there, and you're just one of the, like, it's very, like you say that you don't like the spotlight. You got the key to the city in Omaha. They gave you the key to the city. Now, what did you do with that key?
It's at my mom's house. It's on the wall, but I don't know what the key goes to. But it was one of those things. Like, whoa, I was kind of surprised. But yeah,
now when you go back to Omaha, is like every farmer's daughter just like are they all just like dropping their pants and, you know, running away from their cousins or something? What exactly happens? Like, do chicks just like, is it just wetness? I mean, could you bang any chick in Omaha right now?
I mean, that's the key to the city. No, it's not. I mean, it's not really like that. I'm not really near any farms or nothing like that. But Omaha, it's grown quite a bit. It's quite a city though. I don't really have a good answer for that question.
So there's little Ellenbergers running around. There's little girls with butt chins and babies with butt chins. They're little juggernauts. All right, we are going to call Jessica I right now. Jessica was on our show before. She made headway because she said she was 100% horny and single. Afterwards, she got inundated with penis pictures of people trying to pick her up.
Really?
Yes. She said she's actually scared to go to Brazil right now because they were mostly Brazilian penises. Hmm. But so we're going to talk about that and some other stuff. I love Jessica.
Hello?
Hey, is this Jessica?
Hi. Hi, how are you?
Good, I'm with Jake Ellenberger. You're on the MMA Roasted podcast.
What's going on, guys?
How are you? We were just mentioning you. Jake, say hello, by the way.
How are you?
Hi, guys. If you hear a little bit of noise, I just actually walked into the room to hang out with my dad and bring him his new iPhone here at the hospital.
Okay, all right. So we're going to change the topic. We were going to talk about the last time you were on and then get to that. But you're actually having a fundraiser for your dad, correct? Your dad's sick?
Yeah, I am. It's on GoFundMe.com. You can find it on like my Twitter and on my Facebook, and you'll be able to see, you know, the progress of, you know, how my dad's doing and what we've been able to raise so far.
By the way, I'm really sorry about your father. Sorry that happened. I know you guys are super close. Now he has cancer, correct? Or
yeah, he was diagnosed with called glioblastoma, which is a type of brain tumor cancer that they were able to remove the tumor, and you know, we're just getting him healed up so he can start his chemo and start the big fight.
Damn, really sorry, Jessica. Really, really sorry about that.
Well, you know, I'd be sorry for the cancer because he's gonna end up beating it. So you should. He's definitely a very strong person, and if you met him, you would understand why I fight so hard.
Yes, yes, I do. By the way, you do you have any? Do you have a fight coming up, or who do you want to? Not to change the topic, but is there anybody you're thinking about fighting coming up soon, or?
Anything? Well, you know, hopefully, you know, my next fight will be, you know, sometime February or March. And, you know, I mean, I'm really looking at anybody at the top, you know, top 10, you know, I mean, there's a lot of girls right now. There's that, you know, a couple of the new girls they signed, Alexis Davis. I feel like those will be good fights. I mean, at this point, you know, I'm not really all about calling people out, but I'm ready to fight whoever they send my way.
Call people out. That's what makes our podcast fun. We want to hear who you. Who
you know, well, how about this then? You know, I guess if I had a choice to fight next, but I think Alexis Davis would be a good fight.
Alexis Davis. Okay.
Yeah. Now, don't go spinning my words like you did last time.
No,
all right. Don't do that.
That's
to
not.
Me.
First of all, no, that's not what happened. All right, we're gonna get to that. I wanted to talk about that and then get to the fundraiser, and then you brought the fundraiser up, and I was like, now I'm kind of scared to bring it up. But now that, because the last thing I want to be is insensitive, and I you seem like a really cool person, and you're beautiful, by the way. You.
Thank you.
What happened was you said. I said, are you single? And you said, yes. And you go, I know how to take care of myself. So I said, are you horny? And you said, yes, I'm 100%. So then I said, okay, are you 100% horny and single? And you said, absolutely. Okay, that's what happened.
I was being facetious and agreeing with you because I didn't think that you were being serious.
Well, I mean, how many times when a guy says, are you horny and single? I didn't know. I mean, so then since then, you've been getting lots of penis pics from people, correct? Or?
Yes, weirdos. Tons of them from Brazil, too.
From Brazil.
Not that any of them are bad, but I've definitely gotten a lot of weird messages from people after that interview.
So
I think everybody was like, datejessguy.com. Might as well just start our own little website.
Oh, my God.
So
I'm serious. You guys think I'm joking? If I gave you my fan page, like, inbox for a minute and you read it, you guys would be like,
I believe you.
This poor girl being harassed.
Okay, now, have you ever met Jake Ellenberger?
No.
Oh, because Jake is single. I know Jake's single, and he's 100% horny.
Oh my God!
So I thought maybe we would.
I apologize.
We would match this up, and he has sent me some dick pics, just so you know. And
that is true.
And for some reason, he has a Brazilian penis. It's very strange. Hmm. It's very. No, I don't understand though, because I've never sent a girl a penis pic. Guys
really?
Are just. Yeah, well, you have?
No, I haven't. I was just kind of surprised.
No, I want to be famous one day. Okay. I don't want to get out there, and okay. I have like a mole next to my penis. It's very recognizable. But the thing is that I don't understand why. So guys are just sending you penis pics and saying, hey, I'm single too? I mean, how is that?
Well, yeah, well, a lot of it is like, they'll be like a picture of themselves, and then it'll be like them being like, oh, yeah, I'm single too, or are you bored? You know what I mean? And there'll be like multiple messages. Like, they'll send them like all night. Like, it'll be like, you know, when you check your Facebook and you see the times, or like even on like Twitter, you can see the times. Mm. Like, people would like send me messages like all night long, like expecting me to reply. And I would just delete. I'd look through a couple of them because some of them would be kind of funny and then other ones would just be terrible.
So,
yeah, I mean, it was crazy. I felt like it was a Craigslist ad. I felt like I got put out there like a Craigslist ad. If you guys would have put my phone number, I guarantee you we could have like a little answer machine just listen to everything they said.
No, I honestly, I did feel bad because I did. I just wanted people to listen to the interview, and I didn't expect every MMA, you know, news thing to all of a sudden it's on the front cover of the Underground. That
Dude, everybody called me about that. I had like people actually like they were like, I can't believe you were talking like that. I was like, what are you talking about? I didn't even say anything.
Yeah.
Calm down.
So are you still horny and single, or have you gotten any dates yet, or what happened since the interview?
Nothing really. I mean, same old. I mean, I'm just taking care of my responsibilities and helping my father, and you know, working through everything, kind of personal, you know, personal life.
Somebody told me that you were dating Stipe Miocic. Is that true or?
No, he said no. No way.
Oh, okay.
I think that people just like assume stuff because I'm friends with these guys that like they assume things.
Does that happen at the gym a lot? A lot of times you're training with a girl or a guy?
Well, yeah, because I'm cool with them. Yeah, because I'm cool with them. And then people assume things. It's that typical of like, oh, yeah, but they're banging. Yeah. Oh, yeah, but they're... It's not even like that. Mm. I mean, these guys are literally like my family. I hang out with them all the time. They would be there if I needed them. I mean, they're the kind of people that you go and hang out with them. You end up... Everybody can fall asleep at each other's house and feel comfortable.
For sure. You know, and I...
That's probably why I can't date anybody, because I got too many men around me. No, I don't want to date him because I don't want to come around all these freaking boys.
Have you hooked up with anyone at any of the gyms you've worked at?
No. A long time ago, I did date someone that was at our gym, but that was a long, long, long time ago.
Who was it?
I'd rather not say.
All right, we're going to guess. Okay, a gym in Ohio, right?
Ohio.
Yes.
Hmm. Was it Chris Lytle?
No.
Hmm.
Was it Matt Brown?
No.
Yeah, I don't know many.
Derek Brunson?
Out of Ohio.
No.
John Dodson?
No.
Cyborg?
No.
Cyborg. She laughed.
Cyborg. All right. Have you ever been with a girl or no?
No.
Oh, that's good.
No, I have not. I prefer to... Just stick with the normal, normal things in life.
Right.
What I consider normal, at least.
Right. Well, I mean, you do seem very angry. I'm not gonna lie. You definitely seem like in a fun way. But you're definitely not the kind of girl. It would take a couple dates to get in your pants, correct? I mean, it would take.
Well, yeah. I mean, we talked about that before. I mean, you gotta work at it.
Yes, that's good. I like that. So
what's the craziest?
I'm definitely not an angry person by any means. Like. That's actually one of, like, don't get me wrong, I have a horribly high temper whenever it's needed, but, I mean, I'm definitely one of the most positive people that I think you ever come across.
That, yeah, right. I don't tolerate BS. That's good. I like it.
No nonsense. I like that.
What were you saying, like Jake?
Well, I was going to ask you, what's the craziest thing a guy has said to you?
Oh my God. Yeah, it was actually last summer. We were all out at this place called Shooters. It's in Cleveland. Mm-hmm. And the gentleman said to me, he said, hello. And as I turned around, he said to me, oh man, you're that extreme confidence type, aren't you? And then he pretty much gave up after that. It was hilarious. It was awesome. I mean, he was pretty bombed, but it was still funny nonetheless.
Extreme confidence. Well, but you do have confidence. You're a nice girl. And I honestly did feel bad after the interview. I'm not going to lie. I thought you were mad at me. I had people text me.
No.
You know, I was like, oh, shit. Like, last thing I wanted you to do was like, be mad. Because, you know, you seem like a cool chick. I'm like rooting for you.
You know what it was that I was by any means mad? But it gets to the point that, like, I have a big gym. And there's a lot of regular members there. There's about 1,000 members. And those members read everything on me, and so they were just like, it was like that awkward, right after the article came out, they're like, oh, Chess, please see the article, and I was like, oh my God, you guys, please stop making it a big deal, like, it's not a big deal, then other people, like, get me like, oh my God, is there something we need to help you with, Jessica, is everything all right, like, all the women in my gym were, like, super concerned, they're like, I can't believe they would do that. So I think other people kind of had me hyper.
Mm-hmm. Does that happen to you, Jake? Do you walk in the gym and girls are like throwing themselves at you?
No. I always get a lot of people who try to figure me out. They're like, or when I go to some gyms, I'm not going to say which gyms, but people will try to get some dirt on me, you know, like is asking me some of those uncomfortable questions, and it's funny, it's entertaining.
Are they trying to know if like you're hurt or something, or for like your opponent, or like the, don't you hate when people go, hey, are you ready for your fight? Is that yeah. Does that annoy you?
Well, that is that's the one that everybody always does
for
to
sure.
me. That when they will, what they'll do to me is they'll be like, so like, are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm not ready. What do you want me to say? Of course I'm ready. And you'll hear that 20 times. And
that's the best question ever, because it's like, am I ready? It doesn't matter if I'm ready. I'm going to fight. You know what I mean? So that's always a hilarious
question.
Well,
what happens if you said no, I'm not ready, and it's been a terrible... Like, what if someone said that?
It's funny because...
You know what I mean? Like, how would you respond to that person?
Yeah,
like, oh my God, it's terrible.
Chael actually has said that. He's like, well, I'm not, but I'm going to fight.
Yeah.
So, and that's pretty... It's true, though, because there's always, you know, these different variables, things going on in your head, whatever it may be, but you're gonna fight. That's what you do, and regardless if you're ready or not, you're still gonna fight. So.
Right. Now, Jess.
I mean, that's what, you know, it's funny. I did an interview earlier with someone, and they made a comment. They're like, you know, what happens if someone calls about, you know, them saying like, hey, we want you to fight January 25th or whatever, and if they were like, you know, I know you had a lot of things going on with your family and yada yada yada, and like, do you think you'd be ready to fight? And I said, this is my job. Of course I'd be ready to fight. I mean, just because I didn't go to the gym this particular day today doesn't mean I forget how to fight. Like, it just doesn't go like that. So you can't, it was kind of funny to me that people's mind think that like, oh man, Jessica, I'm not in the gym for 2 days. Man, she's lost everything she's done in the past 9 years and this, that, and the other. Like, are you crazy? What are you talking about? That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Now, do you want to fight?
Okay, it's like, because I don't read one day, the next day I don't know how to read. I mean, this doesn't make sense.
Now, do you want to fight Sarah Kaufman again or no?
No, why? There's no reason, you know what I mean? Like, people ask me.
Hello?
Sorry, my phone muted you. No, I wouldn't want to fight her again. There's no reason to fight her again right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, I definitely think no matter what, and the right people will agree, I won that fight, and if it comes back around after I fought all the other girls, then hey, let's start over again, and we'll start fighting everybody for a second time around.
Sure.
Now, Jessica, maybe you can help me out, because there's this girl that who I think is cute, and she's a female fighter. Mm-hmm. Not that I don't find you cute, but that lives in the same state as me. And she said that a lot of guys that go out with her, they either want to be like, they either become a total bitch where they try nothing because they're too respectful, or they just want to have sex with her. Like, there's that she has a tough time because, and I'm taking this girl out in the next couple days. Now, when should I try something on her?
Not the first day.
Really?
You have a better chance. You'll have a better chance of getting it later on if you just kind of let her feel like she's in control.
But I don't want her to think I'm a big pussy. I want her to know that like I find her attractive and I have a boner and stuff. Like what exactly? I mean,
compliment her. Compliment her. She's beautiful. You know, first maybe at the beginning of the date, like, wow, you look really beautiful. And later on, like, wow, as you're sitting at dinner or whatever, and like, wow, your makeup looks really nice. I meant to mention that, and then start picking up the little things, and she's just gonna eat your words up. She was like, oh, my God, I went out with this guy, and he was so nice. He complimented my hair and my makeup.
So, Adam, how is your dating situation? I'm just curious.
Oh, right now?
Yeah,
well, I was, you know, I had a girlfriend for, like, 3 years, and then she moved out. And then since then, I was dating a girl who had a child who actually liked the kid better than her. And then that didn't work. And then I was sort of, like, messing around with this girl who might be an adult film star. I'm not going to just say that. And then that didn't seem to... She had to go back to work. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of disgusting. You know, I don't want to follow Mandingo. Mm-hmm. So that didn't... So now I'm sort of seeing that now I have a date coming up with this girl who's a fighter who hopefully doesn't listen to what I just said. But I think it's going to be fun, you know, because like, I have stuff in common with her. I mean, not fighting, but we both... I enjoy watching fighting, and mm-hmm. I think I'm going to take your advice. Now, the problem, though, that I'm real worried about is that what if I don't try anything the first night and then it doesn't go anywhere, and then she doesn't want to hang out the second night? Then I kind of just blew it.
If it doesn't go anywhere in the first night, then say then you go out for your second date and she's, you know, really likes you and you want to go out again, or she's, you know, acting like she really likes you, then then you know she's into you. Then you know that you actually have a better chance of it being steady. If not, then she'll let you know. Girls are good about letting you know in their first.
Now, are you the aggressive type when it comes to men? Like, do you say, look, I want it now, give it to me, or do you wait for the guy to move in?
I don't know, man. Well, I don't know. There's only been one person that I ever was like, wow, I really want to date that guy. But other than that, like, there was only, no, there's never really been like that. I'm definitely not the aggressor like that. That's why I'm still single. I mean, believe me, if I decided to go on a date with every single fan or, you know, gentleman that sent me a creepy picture because of the interview, then I'd be right on my way, but that's not how I am.
Well, I don't know. I wish you lived closer, right? I mean, Jake, you would take this girl out, wouldn't you?
Of course.
So, you, I mean, honestly, who wouldn't? I think you and Ellenberger are a good match. Jessica I and Jake Ellenberger. That's the evil eye and the juggernaut.
Well, I apologize for this awkward silence right now, but it's
no.
Nice,
I honestly,
nice
I want
you.
A double date with the girl that I'm dating. We'll all go out. We'll hang out.
All right.
Jake, look at
I'm
that.
I'm up for a date. Yeah, I'm up for a date. I will do that.
Do you like guys with like butt chins or no?
No, not really. I'm just kidding.
It's not like a Uriah butt chin. It's sort of like a half butt chin. It's like you could.
Thank God. Not a good looking man.
Wow. Okay. So what? All right. Top three fighters that you find hot. Jessica I. Go.
Roger Huerta.
Wow. Okay.
Let me see. Oh man. I'm having a hard time with this. I don't like being on the spot. I definitely think Gustafsson is good looking.
Who?
And
Gustafsson? Really?
Yeah, I think that looks
homeless.
Yeah, you know what? I think yes, I do. I don't know why, but I do. I think he's just got that kind of that look to him.
What?
The third person would probably be. I don't know.
Bruce Buffer?
That's a good question. Who?
Bruce Buffer.
No.
Little Nog.
Little Nog?
No.
Bigfoot?
Not at all.
No Bigfoot? Greg Jackson?
No Bigfoot.
No.
God, no. I don't even know who else is really like. That I'm always like, yeah, I like watching him fight because he's cute.
Keith Jardine?
Mm-hmm. No.
All right, well.
Come on, give me some good ones. Those two are my,
Ariel,
I guess, Helwani. I would say, like. Because all the other fighters, like, I think Jose Aldo's a great fighter, but I definitely don't. I'm not like, oh, man, Jose Aldo's the cutest man I've ever seen.
Oh, I know. Pettis. Anthony Pettis. Girls like him.
Yes, he is. There you go. Third person, Anthony Pettis.
Yeah, I knew you were going to say that.
Roger Huerta's my number one, two good husband, three, Anthony Pettis.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Those are my top three.
Whatever
also.
Happened to Roger Huerta?
Roger Huerta? I think there was a girl that was stalking him on the internet, and then she like captured him. And this girl, Michelle something, she like kidnapped him, and he never came back. He recently this crazy girl, Michelle something, on the like kidnapped. I don't know. He ended up losing the War Machine like about a year ago.
Oh, okay.
And Phil Baroni was the commentator. This is a true story. Phil Baroni is the commentator. War Machine versus Huerta, and Baroni goes to the bathroom during the fight. Forgets the microphone on and goes, "Yo, I think this ring girl wants to bang me," and you can hear it over the thing. Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
What show is this, by the way?
It was like some RFA. It was one of those you know. But yeah, Phil. And then I asked Phil about that story, and he's like, "That could have happened. Yeah, that could have happened. Yeah, I didn't even remember that happening.
I wish I was there.
Yeah, totally. Well, hey, listen. Sorry about your father. I'm sure he will kick cancer's ass. I'm sure you will keep kicking ass. So for the people listening, stop sending Jessica dick pics. It's not going to work. So, and then girls were sending you boob shots too, right?
No, but I have had a couple hit on me before. So
a couple.
Can you blame them?
I can't blame him.
Really quick, who, if you could pick who your next fight would be, who would you want to fight?
Alexis Davis.
Oh, I'm sorry, we already covered that.
Alexis
right.
Davis. He was still focusing.
I'm sorry, I was in the bathroom when you guys.
Yes.
Sorry about that.
So what's the website for the fundraiser for your dad?
It's on my Twitter, but you can also go to gofundme.com /RandyI, and you'll be able to go there and donate to the page.
Okay.
And it'll be up until late February.
Nice. Well, thank you for coming on the show. I'm a big fan. You're adorable, and you can kick ass. You can kick ass, which is quite a combination. Mm-hmm. Jake,
awesome.
Jake just recently went out with a girl who was a fighter and a model, and it was crazy. According to Mark, so yeah, but it didn't go very well. So
I'm sorry.
Yes. So you guys are a very strange breed, but
But we are, aren't we?
Absolutely. So take care and good luck with everything. And I'd love to have you back on the show. And take care, Jessica.
Awesome. Well, I'll definitely keep you posted as soon as I know something. Definitely in the next couple of weeks, I'll know about my next fight. So I'll keep you guys posted.
Thank you. Thanks for being on.
Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks. Bye.
Bye. She's cute. Isn't she cute? She's a sweetheart. Jake.
Oh, yeah. No, I've heard her. I've never met her before. But yeah, she was awesome.
Would you date another fighter or no?
I don't know. I don't know about that. Like you said, it's definitely a strange breed, but potentially. I'm not that the door's not shut.
Yeah.
But it.
Well, who do you think's crazier, women fighters or porn stars? Who do you think is the crazier group of people? And by the way, people that on Twitter, tweet us and let us know who is crazier, female fighters or female porn stars?
I have no idea. I have no answer.
Jake Ellenberger, what's up, man?
What's happening?
So before your last fight, you trained over at the Mayweather gym.
I did a little bit, yeah. I did in Vegas.
Did you see Floyd at all, or?
I saw him once. He was kind of. Usually when he comes in, they close the gym and it's, not open to the public. But, and when he comes in, there's usually like 30 or 40 guys with him. He comes in with an entourage, but, no, I usually try to get out of there before he comes around though.
So you train with, King Mo over there?
Yeah. King Mo, Roy Nelson's there. When I was there and working with, Jeff Mayweather. So
did you spar with Nelson?
Not with him. No, I did with Mo though.
Mm-hmm. Now what's the deal with King? Cause everyone, when King Mo came out, was like, he was, so highly touted as the next big thing. And, with his wrestling pedigree and his natural talent, I used to go over to Justin Fortune's gym, and he was there a couple times. And he, he's one of these guys that, like, has so much talent. But what do you think has been going wrong with King Mo?
I don't know, to be honest. He's he's an unbelievable athlete. One of the best wrestlers in the sport, I would say. But I don't know. I mean, he's just been a little bit inconsistent. I mean, timing's a little bit off. But and who knows? There's always different variables that could be affecting somebody. But I'm not really sure, to be honest.
Do you think it's injury, or do you think it's like he's one of the guys that like, and when he's just sort of not a gamer as of late, where he's not fighting in as much, to his potential in the actual fight.
Yeah, there's a lot of things. I mean, you could say him strictly training at a boxing gym too could have something to do with it. I don't really know. And there's always he could have an off night. He could have a but yeah, it's not clicking right now for him. But and I would like to see him fight a little more often than he is.
Is that surprising to you? Like, was it surprising to train with people and then when you see them out there, you're like, what happened to that guy that I was training with? Does that?
Yeah, well, people say that about me all the time too. They're like, what,
about you?
Yeah, well, especially my last fight with Rory, which, is warranted. I understand, but, and that's the thing too is a lot of guys they don't have anything to fear in the gym, so they're gonna really live up to their potential, and it's completely different under the lights, So it's easy to kind of, kind of bring yourself down a little bit or be a little more. Methodical, a little more timid.
Well, I know when we had what's his name on, Gerald Harris said that he thinks that one of the issues is that guys are so afraid of getting cut that they don't fight to win when they get out there. They fight to win when they get out there, but they don't fight to really. Cut from the UFC. Afraid to lose.
Sure.
So a lot of times guys are fighting to because they're fighting scared to lose. Yeah. Versus, he'd say they were better off if they had contracts before the fight, like a guaranteed three fight contract, win or lose. Mm-hmm. Guys would actually fight better.
For sure. I think, there's so much you could add to that, like the whole fear of failure. But, I've always been really obsessed with the kind of the sports psychology about it. I studied psychology in college, and I've worked with a couple of different sports psychologists. But there's nothing more, I mean, more intimidating, more real, you know, nervousness. There's so many things that go into a fight because I was with somebody who was watching me train the other day, and he was like, I don't know how, you know, you can translate that inside the octagon when you have somebody who's throwing 100% power at you. And at the same time, you're doing the same to him. So it's like, it's the whole mind game. But in fighting, it is so psychological. But, you know, there's like, I would agree that, you know, the whole fear of getting cut or losing, it some people pay way too much attention to that. And it's like, you're only hurting yourself, you know?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Now, other thing I want to talk to you about. Now, some of the guys that you've lost to, you know, Campman, Rory, Condit, are you thinking about, now, do you sometimes, like, does that still bother you? Have you let it go? Do you want a rematch with those guys? Is there like a, oh, man, I freaking, like, when like you watch some fight, do you still get that, oh, like, if I could only get that guy back?
Yeah, you know, for sure. I think just being a competitor and it's hard not to. The fights that really bother me, I mean, the fights that keep me up at night are the ones that you're like, you didn't fight to your potential. Like the one with Rory, that, you know, that fight really bothers me. And it's not really like, oh, I hate this guy and I want to see him lose. It's not, you know, it's never really the case even with Campman and Condit, but, it's just like, you know, I know my potential, you know, I know what I can do. And it's like when you're only like 60% or 70 and it's like,
were you hurt at all? It seemed like you didn't get hurt at all, but he just outlanded more punch than you, but you didn't actually walk away injured. Whereas the Campman, he actually rocked you. Mm-hmm. Would you rather lose a fight like that or lose a fight to, you know, you don't want to lose a fight at all, but if you had to choose which way to lose.
Jeez, that's a tough question. I mean, respectfully and for my ego and pride, I would probably say getting knocked out. But
really? I think it'd be the other way because you didn't get hurt.
Well, no, exactly. For me, when I'm thinking like, logically and more long term, yeah, I would rather you lose a decision, not get knocked out. But it's like, it's same with the whole, you know, the entertainment part of the sport. You know, in the conversation I had with Dana White after the Rory fight, and just
what did Dana say to you?
Well, the first few 20 minutes were just him using some words. He was not real pleased.
Really?
With the fight. Yeah, but.
So you lost the fight. He came in like he was like, "What the fuck?"
Well, we ended up having a conversation over the phone, about midnight. And
midnight that night.
That night, yeah.
That night, Dana calls you up.
Mm-hmm.
Are you allowed to talk about this, or you don't want to talk?
No,
about it?
No, for okay. sure. For
so
sure.
Then he calls you up and he says, "What the fuck? What the fuck was that?"
Well, like, you know, he was so, you know, so excited about the fight. You know, the way we were talking, and really. I was the way this fight was built. It was just, it didn't live up to what, you know, the expectations, which I agree. I can understand that. And it's just one of those, you know, you have a bad night, you have an off night. And I could tell, I hate it when I start warming up and you can tell something's off. You know what I mean? And I don't know if that's with everybody, but for me, I can tell. So
well, when Dana's cursing you out that night, right? Was he cursing you out or just cursing?
Oh yeah, no, there was, yeah, he was like,
was there a part of you that was like, look, I just went in there and fought? I mean, come on, like.
Yeah, I mean, there were some other things that were kind of nagging, some things that definitely played a role into how that fight took place. But, you know, I understood, and we ended up talking on the phone for like an hour, and.
Really?
Yeah, Dana's, you know, he was cool. Like, at the end of the, you know, at the
were
end
you texting penis pics back and forth and be like, hey, can you send this to Jessica I?
No, it wasn't those.
But that's pretty cool. I mean, it's like David Stern in the NBA that doesn't call LeBron James or Kobe after he loses and says, hey, man, what happened? Yeah. I mean, that's kind of, so the part of you has to feel like, well, this guy really cares.
Sure.
It's his product. But a part of you, aren't you feeling bad enough as it is? I mean.
Well, you know, it does. I hate, you know, losing sucks and I hate it. There's no way around that. You got to deal with it and it's just part of competition. But, you know, the first part of the conversation with Dana was like, you know, listen, this fight was bigger than the main event. The people didn't really, and he even said that. He's like, listen, this overshadowed the main event. You know, people were so looking forward to this fight, and it was just not to what, obviously, expectations. But by the end of the conversation, he was cool. He was like, you know what, don't let this eat you up, because, you know, just let it go. Get back in the gym, get healthy, and then it'll be.
Now, was a part of you in that fight seemed like maybe you were trying too hard? Like, there was, like, I know sometimes I'm doing comedy and a joke doesn't work, or, like, the first 10 jokes don't work. but I'm really trying to impress somebody in the crowd.
Yeah.
And the harder I try, the more it doesn't work because I'm not relaxed and I'm not really letting myself go and I'm not living in the moment. And then I start getting my own head. I'm like, oh my God, I'm gonna bomb this, or I'm gonna. Does that sometimes get into your head in a fight? Was that you start overthinking everything?
No, that's pretty normal. I mean, you tend to think about things way too much, and I do, I really do. It's like if I start thinking about what he's gonna do, it's a very defensive way to think. You know what I mean? I got to think about offense, what I'm gonna do, what I gotta do to win the fight, and anytime you start to doubt, or not necessarily doubt, but you start to think too much, then you get timid, you're not flowing, you know what I mean, like you should. So I gave him a little too much respect, and it is what it is, though. It was unfortunate, but we're moving forward, so.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy hearing your perspective, man.
One thing I've wanted to ask you about is, obviously when you're doing a show and some of your jokes aren't for everybody, but sometimes you'll have a couple that, you don't hear anything or it's crickets, and then a couple that people are like dying. Like,
yeah.
How do you transition from one to the other?
It depends. I mean, I go through phases. Like when I first started doing comedy, I was like, okay, I'm the comic that has to make a really deep point. So I want everyone to feel bad for and talk. And then I started like, I'm going to be the offensive comedian and just offend everybody. And I didn't care. And then it was like, all right, I got to be depends on what's at stake. Mm-hmm. There are certain people that are never going to like me. For and sure. No matter what I do in any, even with MMA fans, I could go out there and I could give it my best shot. I go out, I write texts from last fight. I write these jokes. I write this. I have MMA Roasted. I have podcasts. Mm-hmm. No matter what I do, people are never going to like me. And the quicker I can come to terms with that, the happier I will be. Mm-hmm. Because there's nothing I can do to change. Listen. And then there are people out there that like thank me and that they're going to love it. And then the more that I play to those people, the better. Because if you look through the history of time, every time that a fighter, or that's what I was trying to tell Bobby Green, was that he seems to be too worried about what everyone thinks about him. Like, oh, everyone says you're too cocky, or everyone says you hit him below the belt. So he's like, all right, I'll just put my hands down. And I'm like, dude, or I'm all about, I want an exciting fight. And then to me, it's like, I can't please everybody. Every time a comedian, look at like Dice Clay. Andrew Dice Clay was the biggest comic in the world at one point. But he was offensive and people were really, they said he was homophobic and women didn't like him. Mm-hmm. So he felt really terrible. So he's like, all right, I'm going to do an album to please the ladies. And then you lose your, he lost his whole base, deserted him. Said, fuck this guy. This guy, now he's trying to, those people that he was trying to pander to didn't like him anyway. They're never going to like you.
Yeah.
Same with Dane Cook. Dane Cook had this like pop star thing to him where the women liked him and the college kids liked him. Mm-hmm. But all the alternative comics hated him. They, like the Zach Galifianakis, this guy sucks, and all these guys, the Mark Marins and the Louis C.K.'s. So he, instead of just saying, you know what, forget it, he came out with a really dark album to try to please those people, and the pop stars, the pop kids deserted him, and the dark alternative comics never liked him anyway. It's like, so the quicker that I've come to the realization that like I can't please everybody, and all I could do is do my best.
For sure.
Whatever that is, it's a, that. Then I'm actually going to be in a good place in my life. If I could I just have to try my hardest. And there are people that like it. I mean, I have more. The good news about like the MMA Roasted account and what I do is that the people that seem to like me are the people that like train, or the people that fighters.
Yeah.
I mean, fighters like, dude, you make me laugh all day long. People that actually work hard. It's like the people that just sit at home complaining are always going to complain.
For sure.
And it seems like even with like, that's why I was talking to Connor about, is it hard? Because it seems with fight fans, I'll talk to a fight fan forever. I love fighting, and people, they come to me, oh, you want, when I was a kid, when I was in third grade, I used to stay out every day and watch the fights after school. Mm-hmm. I literally, my backpack, and watched the kids fight each other. I was a fight fan at third grade.
Yeah.
And then I got into a fight, and I thought I lost, and I went home crying, and it turned out that I actually won. But, True story. I was winning the fight, and then he was a big bully, and then I'm like, oh my God, I shouldn't be winning this fight. And I got up and I'm like, all right, fight's over. And then the kid kicked me in my ass as I was walking away. And I thought that was a loss. So I cried and went home. My dad hugged me, and then I came back and I found out that I won the fight. So I was actually happy again. But
oh, that's awesome.
But I forgot why I got off this tangent, but it's like there are people that are going to complain about everything, especially with, you know, as a fighter. Mm-hmm. I mean, look at Randy Couture. Like 3 years ago, yeah. Randy Couture at the MMA Awards, it was like, Randy, everybody, I love Randy. And then Randy gets to do a beef with Dana White and sort of like becomes, and now people are just like, no one cares about, seems to really praise Randy like they used to. They still like Randy Couture, but Rampage, another guy. I mean, 5 years ago, or there are certain guys out there that like when they're on top, everyone loves you. And then when you lose, they just seem to forget. I mean, the Gina Carano's or the, you know, look at, like she talked about Roger Huerta. And you're like, what happened to Roger Huerta? Was on the cover of Sports Illustrated, you know? Yeah. And that's why it's, I think, so important as a fighter to not get caught up in what other people think.
I know. And it's funny because it's so easy to. And I think too many people pay attention to things they don't need to pay attention to. I mean, Roger Huerta's a perfect example. I mean, I think he was fighting... when I went to Minneapolis for a UFC, before I was in the UFC, and I think he was fighting...
Clay Guida?
Yes, I forgot who it was, somebody, but he looked great. Like, he was at the top of his game, like, number one contender in the UFC, like, had all this going for him, but, I mean, obviously things can change all the time, but it just depends on, you know, what you're putting your energy into. It's like, if some people are always going to be pessimistic and say, you know, and not look at the glass is half full, it's like, they're not going to change. They're always going to be like that, so...
No, it's a fickle fan base, you know, and it's personally, like, that's why with this show I like to get people on that are not even in the UFC anymore, even, you know, guys like Gurzel or you know, Connor or you know, Sean McCorkle, and you know, guys that, because to me it's like you can't stay at the top forever. That's the truth of the matter,
Sure.
And I like to know what I mean. What's his name? Just added me on Twitter. The guy who titties from The Ultimate Fighter, who's Rampage always called titties, Schoonover, I think his name, Daryl Schoonover. And I was like, man, whatever happened to that guy? I used to watch the guy every week. Yeah. And you're like, and then look, he's like 400 followers. You know, it's like, Jesus. But I would like to get him on because I want to know what happened with Daryl Schoonover. Sure. So we're going to talk about some fights coming up. I'd love to get your prediction on these. So Travis Brown versus Josh Barnett.
Wow, I'm looking forward to that fight. I think Barnett, man, he's pretty underrated. I think you know he had a tough fight with Cormier, but I mean he's one of the pioneers. I mean he's been fighting for a long time. But if the fight goes to the ground, I see him winning.
Have you trained with Barnett?
I haven't. No, I've heard he's not very fun to train with either. But
why?
Just some of the guys that I've heard have trained with him. That he's hurt. You know, I think Munoz is actually telling me a story. He was at one of his training sessions and he had hurt like three guys in a row. And they're like, "Hey, Munoz," and he was like, "Yeah, right. I'm not going in there." Like he's like, you know, yanking on.
He weighs like 280 or something.
Yeah,
I mean, he's a huge guy.
Yeah, I wouldn't even begin to try to think about training with him. No.
Now Chris Lieben versus Uriah Hall. You train with Uriah Hall, correct?
Yeah, well, I've trained with both of them actually. I used to live with Chris Lieben. I don't know if you knew that. When I spent a small amount of time. I lived in. Portland, Oregon, when I trained at Team Quest. That's actually when I first met Chael and Matt Lindland and a lot of the guys from Team Quest. And I lived with Chris Lieben for about 6 months. And
what was that like?
It was the craziest 6 months of my life, probably. But
why? What was that like?
His lifestyle, it was just kind of insane.
Parties and strippers and drugs?
Yeah. Well, I mean, just like, it's like, there's... You know, I would go to bed at a normal time. You know, I got to train in the morning, and he would go out, but he would still train. Like that's one thing. I was like, dude, this guy, he didn't miss training, and I'm like, I don't know how you do that. Like, he'd go out all night.
What would he do? Like, I mean, he's banging.
Oh, who knows? I mean, he would have some parties at the place, but for sure he'd be out all night. And he'd come to train the next day, and I'm like, how are you still walking right now? Yeah, and you know, they say a lot of even a guy. Evan Tanner, he used to come to the gym drunk. He used to train drunk.
You would smell the alcohol on him?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And that's a true story.
Wow. So then Uriah Hall training with him over at Reign?
Yeah, great, great fight. Uriah Hall is one of the most athletic guys I've ever trained with. so much potential. This he could definitely be a champ in.
So you see him beating Chris Leben.
That's gonna be a good fight. It really is.
I know one guy was your roommate, but you have to make. Come on.
Yeah, I like him, but I train with Uriah. You know, I'd probably lean towards Uriah, but Chris is an extremely mentally strong guy.
Now, does Uriah break at all in training? Because it seems like sometimes in his fights he's a little too nice, or he sometimes does he ever break in training?
You know, he's been a little inconsistent, but he's been getting a lot better. I mean, he's definitely.
How's his wrestling?
It's grown a lot since he's first came out to here to California.
Right.
Yeah, it's gotten a lot better, but I don't think he's going to be wrestling in this fight.
So a guy that you helped coach on the Ultimate Fighter with Mayhem, Diego Brandano, right? Wasn't that one of the guys that you helped? Was that your year?
He was. I think he was on Bisping's team, though.
He was on Bisping's team. Mm-hmm. He's fighting Dustin Poirier. Mm-hmm. Should be a great fight. Dustin Poirier is coming off a win. He seems to... I thought he was going to beat the Korean Zombie. The Zombie beat him, which was pretty crazy. Who do you think takes this fight?
Was that the crazy... the submission that...
No, that was a Zombie different. Against Miguel Torres. Not Miguel Torres. The guy that had the ranch with Cerrone. What's his name? Leonard Garcia.
Okay.
Leonard Garcia was the guy that he had the crazy submission over. The Twister. Mm. But Diego Brandano's taking on Poirier. Mm-hmm. You like...
I'm going to go with Diego.
Diego. Mm-hmm. I think so, too. He's won his last three fights. You know, I think Poirier's a little inconsistent, great fighter, but inconsistent. Jim Miller versus Fabricio Camos. Do you know those guys?
Yeah, Camos. He's been training with Rafael at Kings at Huntington Beach, but and I've trained with him a little bit there.
How is he?
He's good. He's solid. You can tell just the confidence, how much you know over the few weeks that he's been there.
Could have to be Jim Miller.
It's gonna be a good fight for sure. I hate this. I hate playing defense. I don't mean to be that guy.
You're like a politician. Are you running for mayor?
No.
What's going on
there's
here?
There's so many good matchups though. I'm gonna go with Comez though.
Okay, but is that because you train with him?
Well, no, he definitely has the potential to beat Jim.
Okay, mm-hmm. Yeah, Jim Miller seems to be on the decline a little bit. I couldn't believe that when Nate Diaz walked into Jersey and beat him. That was one of the craziest fights. That was amazing. But you know, Miller is a tough, rugged dude. Mm-hmm. I'm picking Jim Miller for this fight. Mm-hmm. I'm picking Jim Miller. By the way, I'm picking Hall over Leben. So, another guy you train with, Seer Bahuzara, right? Seer.
Oh, Seer. Yeah, yeah.
He's taking on John Howard, a guy you fought in the IFL.
I love this fight.
Right? You fought John Howard in
the
IFL?
I fought John Howard in the UFC.
In the UFC you fought John Howard?
Yeah, when he fought at welterweight in San Diego. Mm-hmm.
So who wins this fight?
I'm going to go with Howard. I think
this is your training partner.
When with Ciari, he trained a small amount of time at Rain. That was, I don't know. Yeah, I think he's in Florida now. But
yes.
Very solid guy. Howard, I think, man, I was even when he fought Uriah, I was like, don't sleep on Howard. He's a tough guy. I think he had five in a row when he fought Uriah.
He also broke the nose of the Boston Bomber. Weird fact.
Wow.
He trained with the Boston Bomber and broke his nose.
Really? I didn't know that. But no, I think he is underrated. I'm going to go with Howard.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Howard, I'm going with Seer. Mm-hmm. I think Howard, I don't know if you could take Seer's power. Mm-hmm. But Sears, he's coming off a loss, Seer, to Dong Young Kim.
Oh, that's right.
Who just grounded him out. I don't know what the proper terminology is. All right, Manny Gambarian versus Dennis Seaver.
Gambarian and Seaver.
The Manville versus the guy from Die Hard.
The guy from Die Hard. That's exactly who he looks like.
Yes.
That's true. Manny, I'm going to go with Manny.
Manny. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Manny. I mean, Manny looked great against. Well, he beat Cole Miller. I thought Cole won that fight. It was that was a weird fight. But Manny's tough. I see him train every week over at a Gokor, and the guy's an animal. He truly is a little machine.
Oh, he looks like it.
Yeah, Dennis Seaver though, tough dude. But
super tough.
I couldn't believe he lost to Cub Swanson. That
fight was it surprised me too because you know. you know, see their style, and he's like hard guy to hurt, and Cub was kind of picking him apart.
Yeah, that was shocking. Mm-hmm. And when Seaver beat Nam Phan, that was he just beat up Nam Phan. That was pretty crazy. But yeah, so I'm picking Manny. You're picking Manny. Mm-hmm. All right, Michael Johnson versus Gleison Tebow.
Gleason.
Mm-hmm. Why is that?
I think the experience factor.
Mm-hmm. Johnson's on a tear. Black Zanes have been good for him. It's weird when guys call into the show, I automatically root for them. That's the issue. It's hard to root for someone who's calls in the show. But Gleison Tebow looks like he cuts 80 pounds. I mean, that he might be the biggest guy in the UFC.
And he does. I actually heard from a close friend of his that he cuts like 30 pounds for a fight.
Week of.
Yeah. Like well, I think it's a couple weeks, but still an insane amount of weight.
What's the most you ever cut?
The most I think I did 18 in like a day and a half.
18 pounds in a day and a half?
Yeah, yeah. Miserable.
Did you have the tube?
An IV?
An IV?
Yeah. Thank God afterwards. Mm-hmm.
Well, now what fight? What was that for? What fight?
For Bodog.
For who were you fighting?
Mm-hmm. Zach Light, actually.
Zach Light. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's funny because that's exactly you exactly weren't light. You were actually 18 pounds heavier when you fought him. Now, all right, so those are Ellenberger's picks. Let's see if you agree with them or not. Make sure you tweet us. Let us know. Finally, Hendricks versus Lawler. Who do you like? Obviously, they're not fighting, next week, but they are fighting each other.
Yeah. No, it's a great fight. It's a great fight for the fans. I'm going to go with Hendricks. He's just a little more well-rounded. He's got that wrestler mentality, and I don't know if I think he can he can go five rounds. He showed that with GSP, and I think he'll.
Who do you think won that fight?
I thought GSP did.
Really?
I got a lot of people that sent me hate messages for that. It's like right after the fight, I was getting interviewed at the UFC by all these people. Like, who'd you tell? And they thought I was. They looked at me like I had three heads. Like, and I was like, well, go back and watch it round by round. And I mean, you can't judge a fight by how somebody looks, what I mean? So, I had GSP again. I was sitting close. It wasn't the best view, but what I mean? I should go back and watch it.
Have you trained with GSP?
No, I haven't actually.
Or Hendricks?
Mm-mm.
No.
No, neither.
I thought Hendricks won that fight, but mm-hmm. I could see. Mm-hmm. I think it should have been a draw. I think it would have been a good draw fight. Mm-hmm. But I could see without Rogan talking how people would be more swayed the other way. You were at the fight?
Yeah, I was.
So you didn't hear Rogan talking?
No. Huh?
Okay, so that makes more sense.
Was he really talking up?
Yeah, he was basically saying they thought Hendricks won.
I mean, to Johnny's credit, if you look at all of GSP's fights, no one's done to GSP what Hendricks did. So it's. You could, and it was a close enough fight to where it wouldn't be like, oh my gosh, what a robbery, It could have gone either way.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then finally, if you had to sleep with Tate or Rousey, and you had to pick one girl, who would you pick and why?
Oh my gosh. And why? Oh. I don't know if I can answer this question.
Oh, wow. Well, I'm going to go with Rousey. I know we had Tate on the show, and I think she might have a better butt. Oh, she does have a better butt than Rousey. I think Rousey would just be crazier. And I think that she would definitely, not that Tate wouldn't be a little nuts, but I think she'd be more high maintenance than Rousey. Mm-hmm. Rousey looks like she'd just be an animal.
She's all business.
She would just have sex with you and then give you the finger. And that's hot to me. That's what I want. I want someone to throw me out of the room afterwards and tell me to go. To go screw myself. Yourself, yeah, I think that would be a good thing. So anyway, that is our podcast. We're wrapping it up. I hope you have a great holiday.
Really quick question. Last one. Is it true about the Phil Baroni Hendricks training?
Yes.
I've heard that story.
Yes. We verified it from both Phil Baroni and Johnny Hendricks. If you didn't hear the story, what happened was Randy forgot to tell the guys over at Extreme Couture the guys over at Team Takedown were coming in, and all of a sudden, the guys at Extreme Couture, which was Martin Campman and Jay Haran and Baroni and I think Evan Dunham, thought their gym was being invaded by
Team Takedown.
Team Takedown, Team which Dojo was CB Storm. Dalloway and Bader and Hendricks, and then they go, okay, let's spar. And then all of a sudden, according to Baroni and Hendricks, Hendricks didn't know how to fight really that well and was tagging Baroni, and Baroni just like laid him out one punch, knocked him out. Hendricks woke up the next day. So that is true.
Wow. True story.
True story. Please follow us on MMA Roasted on Twitter. Ellenberger, where should people follow you?
Ellenberger MMA on Twitter.
Ellenberger MMA on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Thank you guys so much. And I hope you guys have a great holiday.